Hello and welcome to the Victoria PLC Analyst and Investor Conference Call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in listen-only, and afterwards there'll be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded today. I'm pleased to present Geoff Wilding. Chairman, please go ahead with your meeting.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining the call. I'm very pleased to be able to tell you about this investment today from Koch Industries, private equity division, which is Koch Equity Development. We began discussions with Koch earlier this year. Koch have got an existing presence in the flooring industry. They own Stainmaster, which is a major brand of carpets and other types of flooring in the US. They also own Invista, which is provides carpet fiber to us, which we then tuft into carpet. And Koch have been looking to expand into Europe. We began our conversations, as I say, earlier this year. Things took a little longer than expected because of COVID, but I'm very pleased that we were able to secure an investment with Koch in the last few days. Basically, it takes the form of two things. Firstly, they are acquiring a 10% stake in Victoria by buying shares from an existing shareholder and to give them a stake in the ordinary equity. And then they are providing up to $175 million of additional capital by way of a preference share capital to come into Victoria, which we will be able to deploy that capital to grow the business by way of acquisitions. You will have noted that at the time of the AGM, we issued a RNS, which stated that trading has been remarkably resilient in the last since the lockdown ended. And that is strong trading that we're seeing is continuing now. And the revenues for the July, August, September quarter were ahead of both budget and last year. So we feel that with the recovery in the organic side of the business, which we think is a result of people prioritizing spending on their home, as opposed to being able to dine out or travel for holidays, we think that this we're feeling very, very comfortable about the outlook for the organic business, and therefore the time has come where we want to go back on the offensive and look for acquisition opportunities. Since the lockdown ended in Europe here in June, or May and late May, early June, depending on the country, myself and a couple of other people have been busy talking to a number of potential acquisition targets. We've identified some very, very interesting opportunities at attractive multiples that would integrate very, very well with our existing business. And so this capital is designed to allow us to buy up to £100 million of EBITDA. And in fact, the way we arrived at the £175 million figure is we backwards solved from so that we could buy £100 million of EBITDA. Effectively, the way we fund that is by buying £100 million of EBITDA. We can, of course, borrow £300 million pounds on just by borrowing to 3x EBITDA, which is our financial policy. Then there's £175 million of capital that comes in from Koch. And as many of you know, our deals typically have around 30 to 35% of the purchase price is in earnouts, contingent earnout. And so that gives us a total firepower of around $700 million, which is 7x the $100 million that we buy. I suspect on a few deals we'll do a bit better than that, but that's a sort of a relatively realistic assumption for us being able to acquire the £100 million of EBITDA. So that's one leg of the transaction. Secondly, Victoria itself is also buying back some of its shares. We're buying back 6.8% of the of our shares that are on issue, and we're doing that using cash that's already on our balance sheet. We currently have over 200 million of cash and undrawn credit lines, which is up from 180 million that we had at the 30th of June. And so we will be deploying some of that to buy back 6.8% of our shares on issue, which will increase the free cash flow per share and EPS by 7.3%. So those are the two legs to the transaction. Victoria is buying back some shares. Coke themselves are buying some ordinary equity, and they are, in addition, providing us with this 175 million of preferred capital. The preferred shares are relatively simple in their essence. Victoria has the right to redeem the shares at any point in time. It's perpetual capital, so the preferred shares can effectively stay there forever if we wish. But Victoria has the right to redeem those preferred shares at any time. And after 6 years, Coke has the right, but not the obligation, but the right to convert the preferred shares into ordinary shares. So that's a summary of the terms. It carries a dividend of 9.35% if cash paid, and an extra 50 bips if we pay in kind. But it's 9.35% dividend that we will be paying on the preferred, and for the first 5 years, and then it slowly starts to escalate as disclosed in the announcement. Lastly, there are some warrants associated with this, up to a maximum of 9%. However, we will look to net settle warrants. We have the right to net settle them, which means that in practice, the maximum number of shares that will be issued is 4.8 million shares. But that number can be further reduced depending on the performance of the underlying business. And there'll be details of how that number can be further. That's the maximum, but it can be further reduced depending on certain criteria going forward. And so I think, unless Mike, have you got anything you wish to add? I'm afraid we're not in the same room today, but Mike, have you got anything to add, or should we give it to questions?
No, I think from my, thanks, Jeff. From my perspective, I think just to reiterate, you know, this is this capital allows us to have that firepower without breaching our financial policy. We didn't want to just go out and raise more senior debt at this stage, and it is genuinely sort of, you know, permanent capital, so it gives us some firepower and ticks a lot of boxes for us, and also, as Jeff mentioned, helps us to remove a perceived overhang in the equity as well. So all around a really great deal, we believe, for the company.
So let's throw it open to some questions, because we've got about another 10 minutes, so we can do some questions and see how we go.
Thank you. If you wish to ask an audio question, you may do so by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. Once again, it's 01 on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask an audio question. Our first question comes from Robert Chantry from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Morning. Congratulations. Hi, Rob. On the transaction. Morning. I just had a couple of questions. Firstly, why did you choose this solution? So how different were the other proposals you potentially got to kind of add long-dated capital into the business? And then secondly, could you just give us a little bit more detail on the preference shares in terms of the detail around when they're able to convert, the kind of level at which they would do so, et cetera. Thank you.
Well, look, I'll answer very quickly why we chose to go with to take capital from Coke. And then Mike can run you through some of the detail around the preference shares. Look, we believe we did our due diligence. We had a number of proposals for capital to come into Victoria because, as I mentioned earlier, we think there's some really significant opportunities to grow the business. So we did have discussions with a number of parties. There were a number of reasons we chose to take capital from Koch. Firstly, they're a long-term industrial investor. They're not a financial investor in the sense of a typical private equity firm. And they bring a lot more to the table than just money. Their expertise, market access, with their existing businesses in the flooring industry, they're a very, very large, I mean, they're an enormous company. So the expertise that they have in the flooring sector, their market access, or the ability to provide us with market access potentially, and their experience, all of those together meant that it was a compelling package. So to take both their capital and their industrial knowledge and expertise. So that was the reason we selected Koch. And in case one or two of them are listening on the call, they're really good guys as well.
Rob, sorry, can you repeat your question? It was about conversion, but can you just repeat that just so I'm clear?
Yes, obviously the preferred shares, perpetual capital, you have the right to redeem Koch after 6 years, you have the right to convert. Is there any more kind of clarity you could kind of give around, firstly, kind of the dividend payment? I guess you have the option in cash or not. And then secondly, how they would convert, the kind of calculations around it, if any of that has been disclosed.
Sure. So on the dividends, as Jeff mentioned, it's 9.35 if cash paid, another 50 basis points if picked, essentially. I guess what we will do, as you can imagine going forward, is at any given point in time when a dividend is declarable, we will decide, you know, how to allocate the capital. If we believe that there are things to allocate capital towards that are of better use, then we will pick and we will allocate that capital, you know, towards whatever, you know, towards more investment opportunity. If not, and we believe that it's the best use of that capital is to pay down the dividend, we will do so. But certainly the important point here is we have no obligation to pay in cash ever. You know, if it came to it, we could pick it forever. Now, of course, forever there is a conversion, and that's your second question. So after 6 years, Koch have the right to convert into ordinary equity. That would be done based on the prevailing share price at the time. So effectively, the ordinary equity that they get would equate to the value of the preference shares. And that is because it's a perpetual instrument, a genuinely perpetual instrument. That is Koch's sort of, you know, a certainty that they, you know, if necessary, if they want to, they do have the ability to realize and to convert into a different instrument. So that's essentially why that's there and how that works.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just as a reminder, if you do wish to ask an audio question, you may do so by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. Once again, it's 01 on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask an audio question. Our next question comes from Carl Saw from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead with your question.
It is Charles here. Morning, everyone. Well done on the transaction. Could you just talk a little bit about the due diligence that Koch might have done over the period that you've been talking to them, and also how Koch Equity Developments works as a unit of Koch itself?
The key thing about clearly in investing this much capital, Koch did the usual due diligence on Victoria's financials, and on the management team to get themselves comfortable that the company is solid and the management team are capable of executing on the plan. But I know that they also spent a lot of time looking at the market opportunity to make sure that there was the opportunity to actually deploy this capital and grow the business at the rate that we believe is possible. And I know they spent time looking at potential opportunities, looking at the size of the market. You know, the flooring market in Europe at the factory gate is worth 23 billion euros. So there's a lot of runway there for a company the size of Victoria to continue to grow in Europe, let alone if we start looking at other markets. So those were the three legs of their due diligence: financial due diligence, to get comfortable with the numbers, due diligence on the management team to make sure that we're capable of executing on the plan, and then finally to make sure that the market opportunity was there to really grow the business by this 100 million plus of EBITDA. So that was the extent of the due diligence, and clearly they, as you can see even when they're in the statement they made this morning, they've been more than satisfied with the outcome of that. Sorry, Charles, what was your second question?
The relationship between Koch Equity Development and Koch itself, you know, how,
right.
Obviously it's an integral part of the business, but just to understand how they work together.
Well, Koch is an enormous business. As I mentioned earlier, it has revenues of around 115 billion US a year, privately owned by the Koch family. And the cash flow that comes off Koch, which is believed to be around 10 to 12 billion US dollars a year for free cash, what capital is not needed to grow their existing businesses is allocated to Koch Equity Development, whose responsibility it is to then deploy that capital on behalf of Koch Industries. So over the last, I think, 5 years, they've deployed 30 billion in, and since 2003, it's been 80 billion of free cash, or cash that they've actually invested into acquisitions and preferred equity deals and the like. So their job is just purely to deploy the existing capital, the capital generated by the operating companies inside Koch Industries.
Perfect. And Jeff, you've obviously been working hard on potential acquisitions. Could you just give a flavour of the reception you're getting, what the impact of the pandemic has been on some of those businesses in terms of their operations, but also their desire to seek a potential buyer for their business?
Look, by and large, the companies that we're talking to have seen both their revenues and earnings fully recover from the impact of the lockdown. So the businesses that we are engaged with are all back to normal, and some are doing better than normal. What has changed, though, I think, in the discussions that we're having is vendor expectations and their motivation in terms of value, and also their motivation to actually get a deal done. For whatever structural reasons, this industry tends to be owned by guys in their 60s and even 70s. It tends to be a very old demographic that own the companies in the sector. And I think, without wanting to sort of be too macabre about it, I think a few of them have had friends. This is particularly true in Italy and Spain, where we're talking to acquisition opportunities. They have had friends either fall very ill or in fact die. And that has caused some of these owners to rethink their priorities, I think would be a polite way of putting it. And so that as a result, because they now want to spend some more time with their families and wives and so on, they have moderated their price expectations. So although I'm not saying that there's bargains out there that are going to be bought for nothing, or good companies certainly won't be bought for nothing, there are some very attractive opportunities now because the vendors have got, I say more realistic, they say more keener to get a deal done. Yep.
And presumably with that firepower, you've now got the scale of potential acquisition you're looking at is different to what you might have been looking at pre-pandemic.
Yeah. I think that this 100 million that we keep referring back to that we hope to buy over the next 12 months will consist of probably three or four acquisitions, rather than lots. And geographically, I expect the opportunities to mainly be in the ceramic space. There's one or two things we're looking at outside of ceramics, but we have two very, very good platforms, one in Spain and one in Italy, that are very well invested. The management teams that run both those businesses are very high quality, and we want to leverage both the skill set of the management team and also the existing operational platform in those two countries. So I think you can expect to see the most of that 100 million will be in additional ceramics acquisitions. It's also the biggest sector of the market. About 60% of the flooring sold in Europe is ceramic tile.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Pleasure,
Thank
Charles.
You. Our next question comes from Jim Carson from SW Mitchell. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, yeah, it's James Carson here. Congratulations, guys. So most of my questions were regarding the sort of the use of the cash in countries, and so it sounds like the deals will be done in very similar geographies and sectors or subsectors as before.
Yes.
Yeah. Perfect. I you answered it with Charles actually, so thanks.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Robert Chantry from Berenberg. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi again. Sorry, I'm aware Charles is going to ask a few questions. That's kind of covered up a few of mine as well. I suppose there's also a comment just today on the current trading, and you referred to it earlier in the call. If there's any more colour you gave on that, basically referring to Q2 being kind of strong and ahead of where it was last year. And also just can you give us the latest data you can on the kind of the current balance sheet? I think it was 180 million of cash and credit facilities available at end of June, and that's now moved to over 200 million. Have there been any kind of changes in the structure of that debt or any kind of further updates? Thanks.
I'll let Mike answer that.
Sure. Rob, thanks. So, you know, I think obviously we can't disclose, you know, anything material beyond what we've disclosed in the announcement. So, you know, as Jeff said, and it says there in the presentation, you know, I know the table in the presentation is basically giving you Q1 data that we've shown before. Obviously, the full half-year results are coming out next month. Q2 was ahead of prior year and budget. Importantly, that budget is the budget that we set, pre-COVID, to the budget that we set back in January for the current financial year to March 21. So, you know, that is a high hurdle as far as I'm concerned. So I think that speaks for itself in terms of the strength of the performance in that quarter. Unfortunately, nothing more to say other than, you know, trading has been good and continues to be good. In terms of the balance sheet, you know, as you mentioned there, the 200 million, I think everyone's aware that what we did in March is we drew our 75 million RCF. That was because of COVID, and I think a lot of companies took a view on that in terms of liquidity and worrying about, you know, all sorts of situations like runs on the banks and stuff. We did that. We fully repaid that now. So that 75 million is back in the RCF, obviously fully drawable again. And between that and the cash that we still have on the balance sheet, as it says there, we have more than 200 million available to us. This is obviously before the Coke money. So, the balance sheet position is very strong and very liquid.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mark from Cantor Fitzgerald. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, guys. As I see, Mark from Canaccord now. Can I just ask, I see that KED has the right but not the obligation to appoint a director to the board. Is it your expectation that they will do that?
Yes, it is. I was very keen on Coke having a director on the board. As I mentioned earlier, Mark, the reason that the sort of having Coke as a partner was so attractive to us is their knowledge and experience. And I wanted to be able to tap into that. So we were very keen for them to appoint a director, and they've agreed to do so.
Perfect. So you should expect an announcement on that relatively soon.
Yeah, well, the first thing we need to go through is the shareholder meeting to approve the transaction. There'll be a shareholder circular sent out next week, and then we need to wait the 2 weeks for the to call the general meeting. But once the resolutions are passed, and obviously it's my expectation that they will, then at that point you can expect to see an announcement on a director from Coke.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There appears to be no further questions, so I'll hand back to the speakers for any other remarks.
Again, thank you very much for taking an interest. As I think Charles Hall from Peel Hunt wrote in his note this morning, this transaction kills two birds with one stone. It provides us with financial firepower to go out and buy this an additional 100 million of EBITDA, but it also removes the perceived overhang that's been existing in the company share register for some time. And I think that's probably the best way to sum up the deal. So, Mike, unless you've got any other comments, we'll draw it to a close.
Nothing else from me. Thanks very much, everyone.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this now concludes our conference call. You may now disconnect your lines.